Welcome back. We are ready to get started. You know, Tuesday morning coffee talk, you're my favorite group.
Oh, yay!
No, I didn't say that to my Monday night group. This is a lovely group. I enjoy both of my groups. I won't play favorites with anybody. Unless I'm in front of you, then I'll act like you're my favorite. All right. Well, welcome back, and we're going to get into our study. You can grab your packet, and I have put a couple pages in there that are blank. You can write down some notes if you are a note-taking type. We're going to be doing some, going through different books of the Bible, so you might want to have your Bible handy. There's extra chairs around if you feel like your table is getting full of your notes and your food and your kid or whatever you're doing. You can spread out. I'm a floor sitter, so I actually would not even flinch if it even popped on the floor.
Sorry. Time.
I'm a total floor sitter. I love it. And I just, Jay frowns upon that at church, but I don't know. I'll be all in on floor sitting. Okay, you know, it's so funny that you did the prayer journal. Thank you for bringing those for us. It was really sweet of you. And how Molly walked in and she was saying prayer journal and you were reading the word prayer journal on that little handout. Isn't that amazing? I love those little God instances, you know, when God just brings those to our mind. So, Molly, I think you meant, can you give me the prayer journal? There you go, say, babe. Washing neon sign. You know, God gives us beautiful signs like that, reminds us of his faithfulness to us, and says, I'm here. And let me show you an evidence of me being here. And if you were here at our talk a week before last, then you heard me share a little bit about that. And I want to share again about that this morning on faith. But let's open in prayer, and then we'll jump into our study. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the time to be in your word together, be in fellowship. We ask that you be honored, glorified in this time. That our hearts would be open to your word, our mind would be free of distraction. We could just be with you right now. Put a guard on my lips right now as I speak. Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And may the words that go forth here be edifying to all of us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So, as I was saying, beautiful little God incidences that we have in our life remind us that God's there. And I suppose if you're a person without faith and be a secular, maybe an atheist or agnostic or whatever, you might just say that's a coincidence. And I find that to be, well, it's empty and disappointing, actually, to say it like that. I just say every little thing that happens in life, if I make a green light or don't make a green light, thank you, Father, for that, whatever it is, right? So as I was preparing for this whole summer series, way back in the beginning-ish of May, working with the gals who would be sharing their stories, listening to what they thought they would be talking about, and trying to organize it for our summer series, and then weaving in between that a talk that I could bring to you, where I felt like we were, what we needed to hear, what God wanted to bring to all of us. I just laid that before the Father and just started praying, because I knew I wasn't going to go through a book of the Bible, which quite frankly is a little easier because it just lays it all out for you. You just do a chapter a week, right? So because I was doing something more topical, I just really needed it right before God. So I laid it out and just prayed and prayed on it. And I came up with a schedule, and these are available to you if you don't already have one. Grab one of those. And then in staff meetings, the pastoral staff will get together and talk about what's coming up and what we want to do from the pulpit on a Sunday, what's going on in midweek studies and things like that. And Shay and Jane. Shane and Jay. Is that right? That sounds wrong.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
No, the other one was better. Shane and Jay. We're talking about what they might do for the summer series. Shane decided on Jonah going through that whole week study, which was fabulous. And then later on in the summer, as things were tightening up as we looked toward what we're going to do from the pulpit in the fall, Jay decided, when Shane's going to be absent, to do this whole thing on elements and the basics. So 2-3 weeks ago now, if you have your bulletin handy, I grabbed it because it's such a great God incidence here. If you recall, on July 16th, Shane did a talk on prayer and revival. Mm-hmm. And powerful message. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, go on the church's website and listen to that. July 16th was that day. July 15th was the day that I talked on prayer. Shane didn't consult with me. I didn't consult with Shane. It was just this beautiful moment of coming together. And after that message, like I shared last time, I went to Shane and said, "That's so cool how God ordained that, right?" So moving on now, he's finished Jonah, and Jay's preaching, and his message yesterday, if you were here, was on what? Remember?
Faith.
It was on faith, the first element, right? And our talk today is on what?
It's on faith.
Yeah, and I didn't consult with Jay again. He didn't consult with me. This is just God saying a big yes. Mm-hmm. You've been faithful in prayer. I'm gonna work this all out and beautiful. Again, if you haven't heard Jay's message yesterday on faith, please go to the website and listen to that. It was quite powerful. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be talking about faith and my life, a little bit of my story, just a little bit, and a lot from God's word this morning. And so if you were raised in the church, maybe you grew up singing little kid songs like I did, VBS, things like that in church. And one of the songs that have stuck with me to this day is a cute little song we learned at a vacation Bible school. It goes like this. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. He will never fail us. His promises are true. If we but receive him, his children we become. Faith is just believing this wondrous thing is done. Does anyone recognize that song from their childhood? Okay, go on YouTube. Not now. Go on YouTube later and just look up the title. Faith is just believing, a cute little kid song. It's one of the good ones that's actually theologically correct. A lot of little kids songs are like, that's not even true. Well, you can't get to heaven in a clean Xbox. I mean, stuff like that. So, I mean, remember that song? Okay, anyway. So that song, from a very young age, fed God's truth into my heart, circled around me with God's words as I would go to church. My parents were people of faith and strong in their faith and strong in the word, so I was blessed with that rich heritage in my upbringing. And yet growing up, even though I had this sense of what faith was loosely, it felt like it was out there. It wasn't something I really grasped. It felt very nebulous in a sense. Does anyone relate to that? Mm-hmm. Like you may call yourself a person of faith, and you know you are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And we can sermons on it, but what does that look like in my life? What really is this faith, right? How do I increase faith? I've heard about that. Like, could I have more of it? I like getting more of things, you know, more French fries. Don't tell my husband, but when I drive home and stop by In-N-Out Burger and I order on two sets, you know, the combo, he gets the double-double, I get the double-double, the cheese combo, whatever, with the fries, I order an extra fry. Well done, because I know I'm going to eat on my home anyway. Then I show up at home with two perfectly good, intact fries, and I'm already consumed. So long. Pray for me later. Anyway, I want more. That reminds me of that song again, growing up. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. Remember that song? All right. And that's how I felt. Maybe faith is like that. I can get more of it, and surely we read about that in God's word. We see throughout the word of God a strong connection between faith and prayer constantly, and we'll go into that in just a minute. But what I want us to take away today, and I always try to give you your takeaway at the beginning in case I get boring, you're like, later on, you're not funny anymore, you're preaching too much. So what I want you to walk away with today is that faith is the essence. Faith is the essence of the Christian life. All right? So don't start snoring. Though, okay, if you get boring, just try to keep it under control. But faith is the essence of the Christian life. Faith is exhorted throughout the Bible. And faith is presented as an absolute necessity, period. So much so that the author of Hebrews wrote that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you read that and you realize, whoa, wait a minute, if I don't have faith, I'm not pleasing God. The good works that I'm doing, the good and healthy life I'm living, I'm going to church, I'm in a Bible study, I'm in a prayer meeting, whatever it is, if I lack faith, I'm not pleasing God. Okay then, back up. I want faith. I want to get that right. I want to make sure I'm right on this one. Okay? So let me share a little bit of my story growing up and how God taught me about faith. And one of the earliest recollections, I have a few, but one of the earliest I have was actually not that early. It was in junior high. And at that time in our life, our family had come out of a really dark season. As an adult, I can look back on me as a child and go, whoa, there was probably some demonic oppression going on, some really big spiritual battles going on in our family. But a scripture came to my mind during a season of life that I needed it, and God's so good and faithful how he brings these words into our mind. And it was that whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father will be glorified. And so I wanted something from God bad. I wanted my mom to stop smoking. My mom was smoking at the time. Now, you know my story. You know, pastor's kid, raised in a Christian home. Well, before that season of my mom starting to smoke, she had attempted suicide. And like I said, a very heavy, dark season in our life. We were barely making ends meet. We were on welfare at the time. And this was a dark time in our life. Coming out of that, my mom was not successful, praise God, in her suicide attempt. But she turned to things to self-medicate, and alcohol and cigarette smoking and other things in her life that were not healthy at the time. Praise God, my mom is fully restored today, completely restored. If you ever want to speak to someone who's a woman of God who loves the word, like you can't believe it, you talk to my mom and she will let you know about God's word. But for this moment, this season, right, in our life, my mom was smoking and I was terrified. Remember in public school at the time, they were teaching a lot, whatever, and giving the pamphlets to the kids, yeah. And it was finally like, tell your parents to stop smoking and get the word out, it's not cool anymore. So things were happening, and so I was terrified, a lot of fear in my heart. And that verse came to me, and then if you ask anything in my name, so that God would be glorified, that he would do it, I'm like, well, this would surely glorify God if my mom would quit smoking. And so I prayed about that, and I remember the verse that we just finished reading in James 5:16 in our previous study through James, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So I prayed. I prayed, God, let this be a righteous prayer. And please, please, please make my mom stop smoking. And I went beyond the pleasing to God, and I pleased to my mom all the time. Mom, stop smoking, and I'm praying for you, and I'm worried about you. And I remember very distinct and very powerfully on the way home from school, I know exactly where it was because it was the off-ramp on the 23 freeway heading over to Herbst Road from where our house was in Thousand Oaks, and I was bawling in the backseat out of terror for my mom. Please just stop smoking. I've been praying and praying. Please stop smoking. And do you know what? God answered that prayer. My mom quit smoking. And to this day, she says it was because of the pleadings. I know it was because of the Father interceding in her heart, right? Making that transformation. But I believe, and I've always looked back on that moment of my life, and God just giving me a yes, affirming in my heart at a young age, the prayer of a faithful, righteous person is going to affect much. And God gave me that yes. And I can, of course, look back on it today. And that started building my faith that if I asked something that was in God's will to give me, he would give it. And so that was in God's will. And that started growing my faith in my thought process of coming to the Father with those things and trusting him today. So today I'm going to ask you to think right now. Maybe you, like me in that moment in my life, have anxiety. You have something that you're struggling with. You have something that you're pleading the Father for. You're something that is wrecking you, that you're wrestling with, okay? That it takes energy out of your brain and your heart to deal with, like it did for me with my mom smoking, right? And so today I'm going to ask you right now, in the privacy of your paper and pen that you have in front of you, to just write it down in one word or code or a note or whatever. I'm not going to ask anyone to share it at all, but just whatever is on your heart today coming into this room that you are struggling with. Maybe it's the name of a person. Maybe it's a situation in your life. That like me with my mom's cigarette smoking, if I was in this room right now as a young child and someone said this to me, I would write, Mom, stop smoking. Maybe I would just draw a picture of a cigarette. I don't know if I could go through it. Just a little code to me. We're not going to share this out loud with anybody later on. This is just between you and the Father, but I would like you to go through the process of putting it outside of your body, outside of your mind, outside of your heart, putting it on paper, writing it down, and I'd like you to draw a circle around it. You can fold the paper over. You don't need to let anybody else see it. It's private. Okay. But what is hurting in your heart? And maybe even it's in your own heart. Maybe it's tendencies that you're seeing. Maybe it's a sin that you're struggling with. And I'd like you to pursue God like I pursue God in this. And be a person of prayer, righteous prayer, and a person of faith that God is going to give you a yes. That you're going to submit to Father's will, whatever it is, but that you're going to pursue God for a yes in this. All right. So write that out and set that aside. Like I said, we're not going to share that with anybody. That's between you and the Father. But there's a great healing that happens when we bring things outside of our body and put them on paper. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the journal tie-in, by the way, on that. That's perfect timing. So we are going to dig in now into what the Word of God says about faith. What does it teach us? I could stand here and expound on my life story, but my words aren't alive. My words aren't powerful. My words aren't sharper than any two-edged sword. My words aren't able to pierce into the joints and asunder. God's Word is. God's Word is alive. So let's go ahead and get into God's Word. Probably your favorite book of the Bible. You probably have an earmark and bookmark and whatnot. Habakkuk. I know you love me some Habakkuk. Richmond, are you making up books of the Bible again? No, ma'am. I am not making up books of the Bible. That is a real dude's name. So it is after Nahum?
Or is it Habakkuk?
Or Habakkuk. Habakkuk, right. I've heard it a couple ways, right? Habakkuk, Habakkuk. It's before Zephaniah. It's after Nahum. And it is literally only a page and a half long.
Oh, yeah. Three chapters.
So, yeah. So we hold it at chapters. It's a very significant book. Very unique in the minor prophets. And I know you're still looking for it. Go ahead and go to the table of contents. There is no shame in that. Oh, you are? Good for you. Wouldn't that be nice if God ordained the books of the Bible in ABC order? It just would have made life so much. Zephaniah would be at the end. Revelation would be somewhere in the R's. What's an A book? Amos at the beginning. Here we go. Okay. All right. So Habakkuk. Three short chapters, but here's why I want us to be in Habakkuk today, because Habakkuk plays a powerful role in our life as New Testament believers. There are many books of the Old Testament that are quoted in the New Testament. In fact, by doing so, the authors establish the authenticity of their work as inspired by God, because they quoted from the Old Testament. That's why they're included in the canon of Scripture, in our Protestant Christian canon of Scripture. Habakkuk is quoted not once, not twice, three times it's quoted in the New Testament. Right? And I know you're like, oh, girl, what is quoted? How did it get quoted? Not only does this tiny little book with only three chapters get quoted three times, it gets quoted in big, heavy hitter books of the Bible in the New Testament, and it's only a half of a verse that even gets quoted.
Wow.
Powerful, right?
Yes.
And it's a biggie. So what we're going to do in a minute is I'm going to just jump into the middle of Habakkuk. I would normally would not do that. I love to read whole books. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to jump right into that verse. Then I'm going to have you jump out. We're going to see it in the New Testament. And then we're going to come back as we close back to Habakkuk. Ooh, back to Habakkuk. Girl, I'm on fire. This is going to write that down. Okay, here we go. I know, I just think you get this for free. What do you say? All right, so Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 and 4. And give my eyes, okay. Joanne should read this for me. She's got her little micro Bible here on my camera. And the Lord answered me, Habakkuk, answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. Mm-hmm. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. If you have your own Bible with you, I would encourage you to underline that. Highlight that, put a scratching sticker right next to it, whatever you need, but mark that in Habakkuk and get ready, because this is a peek at the nature of God and what it means to be people of faith, his people of faith. See, this book of Habakkuk is unique in all of the prophets, because most of the prophets record in their oracles conversation and oracleizing to the people. The turn and burn messages that most of the prophets offer. Do you know that Habakkuk isn't a conversation to people? It's between Habakkuk and God. Goes back and forth between it's phenomenal. I'm going to challenge you right now to go home this afternoon and read Habakkuk. It'll take you all of 10 minutes to get through it, right? It's three little chapters. But you're going to dig it. We're going to get back into it in a minute. But let's move on to where it's referenced in the New Testament. Are you ready to hop along, Cassidy? Get a little Bible hopping with me? All right. So three times in the New Testament. Let's go to a book I bet you can find. Romans. And so New Testament, I can mark with John Acts, and then Romans. And we're in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, say it with me, the righteous shall live by faith. Good job, Habakkuk. Quoted by Paul in a big heavy hitter book of Romans. So, the righteous shall live by faith. That phrasing there in verse 17, God is revealed from faith for faith, is a sense of from the beginning to the end of faith and everything in between. That's what that concept is, however it's written in your translation. So, if you were here at church on Sunday, heard Pastor Jay's message, and he talked about the root of faith, the root word there, and it's the same as believe, right? Believe is what I do, I believe, faith is what I have, right? It's the same root word, pistis is the root word.
Could you spell that?
P-I-S-T-I-S. Pistis. Belief and faith are actually from the same root word. In 1 John 5:4, you don't have to turn to that, I'm just going to read it real quick, but for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Whoa. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes? Same root word. That Jesus is the Son of God. It's our faith. All right. So faith is the road that you are taking to the grace of God. It's the road you're taking to that grace of God. In Galatians, go ahead and turn to that for our second reference here. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians is the beginning of the little group I like to call Go Eat Popcorn. So G for Galatians. E for Ephesians, eat. Pop is Philippians and corn is Colossians. Go eat popcorn. There you go. Now you can remember those. Again, no to turn for these ladies. Here we go. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, curses everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanging on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised gift out through faith. The righteous will live by faith. How do the righteous live in contrast with the world? By faith. If we want to live righteous lives then before God, how should we live? By faith. Come to Christ through faith, live in Christ by faith, period. End of story. Faith is a defining characteristic of God's people. Mm-hmm. Defining characteristic. Now,
When you think of defining characteristics, physically speaking, of people, you might think of someone really tall that you've seen before. You know, super tall. If you're going to describe somebody, oh, he's a really tall guy. Or maybe you know someone with naturally platinum hair, like it's just like insane platinum hair, right? Or maybe you know your great uncle, Earl, like my uncle, had monster ears. He just had these huge ears. With the defining physical qualities, like, oh, God, that can happen. You had an ear job. I mean, there's... It's so big. It's a defining characteristic. You can't not see it when someone like that walks in the room. As much as you would try to be polite, you're like, oh, big ears. Like, what do you have? You not say it. That's why 2-year-olds are so cute. Like, they'll just say it. It's a defining characteristic of physical features. You can't miss it. Faith should be our defining characteristic. You can't miss it. When we walk into the room, it should be that evident in our life that we're women of faith. Then no one would be, what's up with her? No, they'd be like, defining characteristic, faith. That's a woman of faith. That's how we should be defined. Women of faith. How do we do that? What does that look like? Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, if you know anything about the book of Hebrews, and no shame if you don't, but if you know there's a big old fat chapter right in Hebrews chapter 11. It's even called the faith chapter usually, or the hall of fame of faith sometimes, right? Well, right before that, the author of Hebrews introduces this entire chunk that he's going to be giving with our friend Habakkuk. Hebrews chapter 10, right at the end, beginning of verse 35. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith. Right? And if you will continue on, you will see the beginning of chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance or evidence of things hoped for. For the conviction of things not seen. What are some things that haven't been seen? Well, creation. I wasn't there to witness creation. We weren't there when it all got started. And so people of faith credit it to God. People who lack faith credit it to happenstance, evolution. It all just came to be. People of faith say, no, that's we have a creator because we have a creation. We have a designer because we see design. That's faith. We weren't there to see the beginning of it. But the writer of Hebrews reminds us, and as he continues, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Why? Because your words aren't visible. You're not seeing little words coming out of my mouth like a word bubble right now. Wouldn't that be cool if it did? Then you could really pull them back. Oh no, grab an eraser quick and just, you know, get that word bubble out there. No, our words are invisible. And that's how the world was created. So, we see faith also linked with hope there in verse 1 of chapter 11. Faith is the assurance of what? Things hoped for. What do we hope for? What do we hope in? Well, we hope for many things in Christ. And those of you who like alliteration, get ready. They're going to all start with the letter R. Don't you love that? You know, I'm a true pastor's daughter. If I can do 3 points. And they all start with the same letter.
Right.
You get extra credit in heaven, I think. We'll pass this corn when we get up there. All right, first one is return. What do we hope for? We hope for the return of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you listen to the news and just go, I'm done, I'm over it, come now, Mara, not the Lord come quickly. Right? This is, it could, is it not bad enough yet, Father? You can't come now? How many generations have wanted that and hoped for that, for Christ's return? Resurrection. We hope in the resurrection of Christ. In fact, our entire faith is built on the reality of the resurrection. Our faith is in vain. The Bible says, if it wasn't for the resurrection. And we hope for the restoring, for the new heaven, for the new earth, for the end of pain, no more sin, no more crying, no more tears, total healing.
No.
Faith, then, is the evidence for the things that we hope for. And how do we know? We believe it. We believe these. So the faithful of God don't just talk about their faith. What do? They act. They act. We just finished all of James, right? And we've been reading all throughout James that faith without what?
Works
is what?
Dead.
So we see in James, and we're going to be seeing even more in 1 Peter as we dig in, holy living is how we act. Holy living. The faithful of God act on their faith. They act in holy living. Number two, they act in preaching the gospel. Now, I know you're sitting there going, lady, Richmond, I am not a preacher lady. I'm not going to be up in the microphone preaching the word of God. Preaching the gospel is another way to act in faith. I know some of you are thinking that you're not a preacher, and that's for the paid people to do, but that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that, right? It does say that some are called to be preachers, but it doesn't mean, therefore, you cannot preach, right? If someone's called to be a chemical engineer, I'm not going to be going chemical engineering things, but that's not how the Bible works. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, right? You preach the gospel by your life. You preach the gospel by how you're living your life. A pulpit at my former church, printed on the front of the pulpit, said, preach the gospel and use words if necessary.
Right?
Right? So while the biblical preaching must use words, faith comes by hearing from the word of God, right? Paul does say this in Romans 10. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? Okay, we get that. Still, our lives must reflect the truth of our faith and the good news that we've received. So, the words that Christ said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your what? Good works. And give glory. All right? So it's the combination. I can speak words of the gospel, and I can live words. Now, I'm not ever to not speak the word and not live the word. It always comes together. Okay? So, let your life be the gospel. Let your life speak for itself. What are we to be distinct in? Women of what?
Okay.
Faith. Like a physical characteristic, walking in the room, you're unable to miss it. You should be that distinct in your spiritual characteristic. Faith should be unmissable. Like big old huge ears. Like, did she get an ear job? No, she got a faith job. Ooh, they're so big, right? So you all right. We're all preachers of the gospel. We're all ministers, the Bible says, of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. And the verses following 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God, making his appeal through us. Right? So our priority should reflect that then in our life. Right? We're distinct in our characteristic women of faith. We act in holy living. We preach the gospel with our words and our deeds. And we prioritize in such a way that reflects that distinction, that we are women of faith. All right? So you've probably heard me say this before. I referenced it last time I spoke, that we each have 168 hours in a week, right? And if you take out those hours and you start thinking about what you're doing with them, you'll see where your priorities are. So I realize that most of you have to work, so you have priority to make money and be a breadwinner. Many of you have children at home, you have priority, you need to raise those kids right? So you should see a ton of hours right there for that. And if you go back and you reflect on the hours that you're spending each week and you're not seeing specific set-aside time for the Word of God, then I would submit to you today, again, you are not making it a priority, that you say you're a woman of faith, but you are not living like a woman of faith. So this is when I get to call everybody out and myself. If my life, my personal time does not reflect who I say I am, then I need to either stop saying that I am, or I need to get my act together and submit that to the Father. I need to be humble about that. We talked about it last time I spoke again. We make priorities for the things that we care about. Y'all probably brushed your teeth this morning, right? Because why? You care about them. You don't want to walk around with, you know, teeth falling out of your head. You took time to prioritize. You made your teeth a priority. If you don't prioritize God's word, you won't make time for it. Period. End of story. Nothing, no way to get around that. It's just a reality. So if we are women of faith and our distinct characteristic is that big old faith walking into the room, then our inner life will reflect that. And that is reflected in how we pray, how we read the word, and how we're at the feet of the Father asking him to increase our faith, which we will get to in a minute as well. So where's your priority to what God's word is saying? What are you spending time and value on in your life? Hearing from him? Being still before him? Is that your priorities? All this shows the tangible ways of the things that we're hoping for. That's how we hope for it. That's how we live it out. Let God readjust that. No need for you to be on a guilt trip. Oh, I should be spending more time in the word. Yeah, you know, that is not from the Lord. If you feel convicted and you know in your heart you need to rearrange some stuff, that's fine. But guilt is not from the Father. That is from Satan. The accuser wants you to make you feel bad. Guilt pulls you away from the Father. Mm-hmm. Conviction draws you toward him. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the difference there. So if you're feeling guilty, shut that down. That's from Satan, the accuser. If you're feeling convicted, that'll draw you to the Father. You'll humble yourself and you say, you know what? Work on this inside me. I need this to be made right before you. I want to prioritize that. Right? So, faith is a conviction, it says in Hebrews. The things that are not seen. What are these things? The universe. We haven't seen the beginning of that. But we also have not seen Jesus. We didn't get the benefit of that. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we invite Jesus to be the Lord of our life. We don't see the physical Jesus, but we have the faith in that. You'll be able to read a little bit more about that in our study as we get into Peter. So when we reflect on who Jesus is, when we reflect on the truth and the reality of creation, what are we doing in terms of a timeline? Where are we going in time? Forward or backward? We're going back. We're going all the way back to creation. In the beginning, God, right? Really, really, really far back. And then moving forward, Jesus, the prophets, all the things that we read. We're going back. Right? These are things that have not been seen. But if we look forward into the future for things that we hope for, those are also things not seen. Those are things that you can imagine the possible outcome of how you think you would like it to be. A sense in your heart of what God has placed and saying, this is how I see my future. We need to align that with what God's will is, but these are things that are also not seen. We have hope in the future because we have confidence from the past. You get that? The word confidence is from the Latin with faith. Con, with, fide, faith. Confidence. That confidence from what we've seen in God, how he's been faithful in the past, projects us into the future. If he's been faithful like this in the past, there's no reason to think God's going to all of a sudden to have a personality shift and change his nature. He's going to be the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So you're trusting what you've seen in the past and that God's been faithful over and over and over again. And you have no reason to doubt that he is going to change his ways, right? Faith is the conviction of the things that are not seen. The universe. And again, like I said, in Peter, not seeing who Jesus was, but we reorder our lives around that. The confidence of creation, the confidence in Christ. Now, faith takes us from an inward belief and conviction. Faith takes us from an inward belief and conviction to an outward demonstration of it. Get that? Faith takes us from an inward belief and conviction to an outward demonstration of it. Like it says in James, faith without works is what? Dead. He's not saying that works needed to be added to complete what Jesus did. Instead, if you say that you have faith, but you don't have works to prove it, then you don't have it. Right? So when we go back to Hebrews 11, 1 through 2, we hear the author say, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of was not made out of things that are visible. We're hoping in things that we can't even see, but we have faith. We have confidence in that. All right. So the faithful of God don't just sit around and talk about their faith all the time. They don't go to Bible studies all the time and prayer meetings all the time and church services all the time. Although those are lovely and faith-building experiences to hear from one another, be edified in the Word, to receive the Word of God from preachers. We know that's a part of it, but that's not all of it. We just finished James, the whole book. What was it all about again? Faith. Mm-hmm. Without works is dead. So the faithful of God aren't just sitting around talking about their faithfulness. And God's faithfulness either. Although they're great and they are helpful and they are necessary, it should propel us to move forward, to act. Faith without works is dead. They go together. Four key things to remember about faith. Number one, faith is the central issue in the gospel. Over and over we see that. Faith is the central issue in the gospel. Number two, faith is how we are made right or justified. Faith is how we're justified with God. It's through faith. That's how our relationship is right with God. Remember what it says. Without faith, what? It is impossible to please God. You are out. Yes, number two, faith is how we are made right or justified with God. It's impossible to please God. We cannot be made right. We cannot be in that right aligned relationship with God without faith. Number three, and I've said this before, faith is a defining characteristic of believers. Faith is a defining characteristic of believers. You can think of Uncle Earl from now and forever and his big ears to help you remember that faith should be your big ears. It should be your defining characteristic. It should be unmistakable as you walk in the room. Like you were the 6 foot tall bearded lady. People will not miss that. Number three, faith is a defining characteristic of believers. Faith is a defining characteristic of believers. And number four, faith results in action. Faith results in action. Those are the four things that faith is. And if you want my notes afterwards, you can come up and I'll let you look through and jot that down again. So faith is, but what is faith not? And we need to clarify what faith isn't, because there's been some bad teaching in the church about what faith is and what faith isn't, right? So let's be careful and make sure we understand our terms. Because we know, even from hearing Rebecca's story last week? That we in the circles of Christianishness, right? Bible-ishness, church-ishness, making up words left and right here, lady. We could have terms that we have messed up definitions for. I can say faith, and you can hear it one way and another. Faith is not. Faith is not. Faith is not a power that we wield. Faith is not a power that we wield. That's not what faith is. We're not going around with faith like a lightsaber. And we have to be careful, because I think we do say things that make it seem like we're going to faith something into action. No. I have evidence of my faith because of my actions, but I'm not going to faith something into existence. I'm not going to faith an action out there. It doesn't work like that. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Faith is not a power that we wield. And so we're going to avoid saying things like, I'm believing God for this. That's not how this works. I don't see any precedence in the Bible for that type of phrasing. I'm believing God for this. That is I'm naming it and claiming it. You might have heard that one, right? So we're not going to be talking like that, because this is not biblically sound teaching. We are going to see the principles that God's laid out in his word and say, God, based on who I see, your character, who you are, who you have been, I believe this would be the will for my life. I don't know. I don't have the future, but you do. I'm going to trust you that you're going to reveal to me. I'm not going to manifest something into my future. Again, a bad word that has crept into the church. We're not going to manifest things out. Why? Because I'm not a creator. Right? God is. God will take care of the creating things. Back off and let him do that. What is your role? You are to obey. You are to pray. And you are to walk by faith, not by what? Sight. So you're not going to manifest something out. Like you've got a little microwave with God. You've got to pop a little button in and put it in. Boom, faith. And out comes what you manifested. But it's not how this works. That is not how any of this works. Okay? If it worked that way, then surely all the faithful men and women would have gotten everything that they prayed for in their lifetime.
Right.
But Hebrews says, nope. In fact, let's go back to Hebrews and review. At verse 13, Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised.
What?
What? Sad music plays? No. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, right? And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. Ladies, this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Amen. So I'm not going to be manifesting anything. Why? Because that is not on me to do. That is not our role as women of faith. Faith is believing what God said he will do.
Yes.
That's what faith is. Taking him at his word. Now, how does God say what he's going to do? In his word. In your prayer time. But that does not put it on you then to say, I'm going to manifest this out into my future. This is not faith, how we will be living it. Okay, so, this last one is in my notes. Faith is not this, faith is that. Okay, here we go. So, I know a lot of faithful people who have been through a lot of trouble. But that does not point back necessarily to a lack of faith. But the faith movement, or the name and claim it, or the prosperity gospel, would make us think that. But I find this in direct opposition to the Word of God. This is why we need to know the Word of God, so we can know when it's off, right? Of the 11 apostles, remember Judas hanged himself, of the 11, at least 10 were killed for their faith. And not once does the New Testament say, well, Peter was doing great until he had a lack of faith and hung him upside down on the cross, right? James was the first of the apostles to be martyred, and of it, it says simply in Acts 12:2 that Herod killed him with the sword. Was this because he lacked faith? James was doing great, but he had a lapse of faith, so he got his head lopped off. I think God would say that. I think we would know that. That's not how it works. Again, why don't people quote that? Why don't they quote those types of things then? All things work together for good. Period? No. For those who love God, they're called according to his purpose. And that might not happen, the good, on this side of heaven. We were never promised the timeline. We were never promised that.
That's true.
We are promised the restoration in God's time. He makes all things. Right? In God's time, all things are made beautiful. In God's time, everything is set right. And so you might be earnestly seeking the Father for something that is righteous and true and good to pray for. And I would encourage you to persevere in that prayer. Right? I persevered in that prayer for my mom. And you know what? The Father did not have to honor that prayer in that time, and he did. For whatever reason, he said, nope, no more smoking for you. And my mom's never smoked since. But you might have something that you've been faithfully praying for. Persevering in prayer. The Father is not answering in the way. We talked about this a bit last week in prayer, but like I said earlier, faith and prayer, they go hand in hand. So we come to the Father in humility. And we do it in the same way that Jesus' own son did. Because if you ever feel like your prayers aren't being heard, it's not necessarily pointing to a lack of faith. It might be just, this is not God's will right now. Because Christ Jesus exemplified that in the garden when he said, I don't want this cup. Take it from me. And God said, oh yeah, you're right. It's going to be really hard. So you're... No. Right. Not my will, but what? But yours be done. Amen. All right. So, Hebrews 11. Everyone that's mentioned there, they were all about the will of God. The men and women of faith did what they did because it was part of the plan of God. All right? They didn't even get all that they were promised, recall, in their lifetime. Remember, what we have, the unseen heaven, the unseen Christ, is beyond anything else that we could have in this life. It would be nothing in comparison to the presence of God. That's why it says better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Faith is a defining characteristic of God's people. And Habakkuk shows us the appropriate response to these situations, right? Take our problems to God just like Habakkuk did. Now I promise we would go through the New Testament. We're going to back it up now to Habakkuk. Let's take a look. Back to Habakkuk. Ooh! So Habakkuk, like I said, is all addressed. It's a conversation between Habakkuk and God. And it's Habakkuk basically wrestling or trying to believe that God is good in the midst of evil and suffering. Relate, anyone? Have you ever dealt with someone who's even questioned God by saying that?
I don't know about this God, you know, how could he allow all this evil and suffering? Mm-hmm. How then will you come back?
Well, don't, because it'll freak them out. But you're like, you can help them if they're a brand new baby Christian or they don't even know the word. This is a lot to read. But anyway, that is what this is about. And it was written during a time when God was casting judgment on his people, but the people that he was calling in to judge them were even wickeder. That word. They were even wickeder, eviler than the people of God were. They were bad news Chaldeans. Like the bad news bear, you know, bad news Chaldeans, they were bad, right? And so Habakkuk is like, I don't think this sounds fair at all. Like, we were bad, I get it, we're getting judged, but you're having us getting judged by these really, really bad guys. Not fair, right? And so he calls out God on this and says his complaint. It literally says he complains to God, verse 2, chapter 1, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? You're not doing anything about this. And the Lord says, be calm, be still. I have this under control. This is all going to work out in the end. Chapter 1 continues on with the Lord's answer. And Habakkuk comes back with another complaint in verse 12. Well, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for a reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? He's talking about God's own chosen people, and you're letting these big, mean, bad guys. And then he moves forward, and God answers him. And the Lord answers me. Well, Habakkuk says, I'm going to take my stand at the watch post. You mean God right now. Let's do this. I want an answer. I'm going to take my stand at this watch post. I'm going to station myself on a tower. I'm going to look out to see what he, God, will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. You know how you do that when you're in a conversation with somebody? You're already thinking about what you're going to say next, even when they're preparing what they're going to say. You're already ready. That's exactly what Habakkuk is doing. He lays it all out. He waits for God. He says, oh, I got something ready. Whatever you're going to say, I got something ready for you. And boy, does he get shut down. When God said, now you have this context, back to what we were reading before, chapter 2. The Lord answered me. You write this vision, you make it plain on tablets, like carve it in stone. This is how strong and real it's going to be, so that he may run who reads it. In other words, the person who reads this is going to be just running into action about what I'm about to do. For it's still the vision awaits its appointed time. You write this down, it's going to happen. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. In other words, it won't be proved false. Everything I'm going to say will come to pass. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright with him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. And then he goes on to talk about the bad guys and the wine and the traitor and all this stuff. But here's what I want you to understand. The salvation, the waiting, the hope, the fulfillment that God is promising here was not fulfilled in Habakkuk's lifetime. Because this was for a promised Savior, the ultimate redemption. You see, Habakkuk wanted out of the pain now. I want the pain to end now. I want my story to change now. I want my circumstances obliterated now. And it was legitimate. Like, these were bad guys. And he was being judged by bad guys who were bad in his life. It wasn't, it wasn't like, oh, I like everything. I like a Maserati. Like, no, this was no. You know, I like to invent Maseratis. Maybe he was thinking about that. No, this is Habakkuk. Legitimate complaints about legitimate evil going on in the world. This isn't him whining and complaining and being a negative Nelly here, right? And God says, I get it, I got it, and I'm going to deliver. This is going to be made right. Hasten to the end. Hold fast for the promise. I am going to deliver. Ladies, right now in the pain that you're going through and the challenge to your faith right now, I know you want it fixed now. You want your healing now. You wanted it yesterday. You want those relationships made right. But God might be saying, I'm going to take care of this. Would you trust me in my timeline? If you're still not sure about that, please go home and read Habakkuk, the rest of the story. Powerful stuff. I want to read to you just the quoting at the end here in Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 16, Habakkuk says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bone. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. In other words, I'm going to wait quietly for the bad guys to get it. I trust you for that. And Habakkuk rejoices in the Lord. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. I'd like to hear the prosperity gospel preach this verse.
Right?
The fig tree's not going to blossom. The fruit's not going to be on the vine. My wallet is not going to be overflowing with money. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not going to have a new car, a new house, mm-hmm. all the best, everything, right? The produce of the olive fail. The fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold. There be no herds in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Amen and amen. Faith is always the work of God. And it involves hearing his voice like Habakkuk did. All right? This is how the believer takes hold of God's, listen, preferred will. I have my will, my way, a sense of what seems right to me, like I'm back in the day, like, this does not seem right at all. Like, I'm looking around, this is not, I got friends with cancer ladies right now, I've got my mom who's sick, my stepdad is sick, my father's passed away, my sister, I'll make our list right now, this does not feel right. We legit bring that before the Father, why not? But faith is always the work of God, the measure of God in me. It involves hearing his voice, and it's the way that we can hold his preferred will. His preferred will. So we're stepping out, we're knowing God's will, and faith enables the believer to know God's preferred will. Do you know that in the Bible, faith and God's preferred will are always directly connected? As you start reading scripture again, you're going to start seeing this constant, I'm like, what the heck? Look at that. God's preferred will of faith. God's preferred will of faith. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world. How many of you are familiar with that verse? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Listen. So that you may prove what the will, this is the Greek word thelsma, the preferred will, that's what that means, prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect for him, and he is time, and for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought. Kind of like Habakkuk started off thinking like that, like, I'm a prophet of God, I'm going to tell God what it is, right? But to think so as to have sound judgment, listen, as God has allotted to each a measure of pistis, a measure of faith. There it is. God's preferred will, faith. So what if you don't have enough faith? Ask for more faith. You're not alone. Acknowledge it. That's a prayer that he's going to always answer with yes. You want a yes? Ask for more faith. You want more faith? He's going to give it to you. How is he going to grow your faith? Well, James 1. Consider it pure joy, my friends. What? All the trials that are coming to you, why? You're going to increase your faith, your character. You're going to develop, yes. Right? So, ladies, you are going to be distinct in this characteristic about you, your faith, about who you are in Christ. And you're going to ask God, increase my faith. You're going to be like the man with the epileptic son, how he cried out, I believe, Jesus. Help me in my unbelief. You see that? There's this gap. Here's, if you think of this, put your arms out like this. Everyone put your arms out like this. Not you. You're going to go, oh, well, you elbow boot. Your skills. Why do you stop sleep? All right. Here it is. This is, let's say, the capacity of faith. Distance between here and here. Let's say that's it. Let's just say. And you're here. Ask God to give you this. Right? The Bible says you were given a measure of faith. Now, you might have started off with a quarter cup. And maybe you got an eighth. I don't know. Maybe a little teaspoon. Ask God for more faith. Why not? Right? Ask God for the full measure. And overflowing. Come, bring that before the Father. You want a yes out of God all the time? You want your yes? I do. Go to bed, get a loan. I want a yes, right? Go to the Father, you want this? This is a yes. I want more faith. That's a good prayer. It acknowledges that without God, we can't believe as we ought to believe. God has assigned us each a measure of faith. You want a greater measure? What are you going to do? Ask for it. Romans 12, 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, again, not to think more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Luke 22, 31 to 32, before Peter denies him three times, Jesus says to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, you will strengthen your brothers. So we will be going through opportunities in our life that have been ordained by God that will sift us. And that we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, now, that will pray for us. Jesus prays for Peter's faith to be sustained even through the sin of denial. Where does that faith come from? God. It comes from God. Jesus knew that God is the one who has this faith. Okay, so faith without works is dead. You got to act on it. So I'm going to wrap up with a little closing story to help you visualize that. Maybe you've even heard this story. It's a true story before. And it happened in 1860, September of 1860. And a man named Charles Blondin, he was a French tightrope walker. And it's a beautiful story of what faith actually is. So his claim to fame is that he became the first person to cross a tightrope that was stretched 11,000 feet over a quarter of a mile across the Niagara Falls. So people from Canada and America came from miles and miles to see this guy do his stuff. He walked across 160 feet above the falls multiple times, and each time doing something a little different, a little crazier. Once, he did it in a potato sack. I couldn't even walk across this room right at that. Once he did it on stilts. Once he did it on a bicycle. Once he did it in the dark. And once he just did it blindfolded. Oh, right? Okay. One time he actually carried a stone. I know you're like, oh, looking up and gasping. It's a great, crazy story. One time he even carried a stove across. He's French, you know, the French, he loved to cook. And, and he carries it across and gets to the middle. He parks it there. Flashes up the stove and cooks an omelet. Again, French and their omelets. And then right there in the middle of that rope. So this large crowd is gathering across both sides of the bank, and they're ooing and they're awing. And Blondin takes a wheelbarrow and he fills it with potatoes, walks across, grabs more potatoes, fills it again, walks with more potatoes, grabs it another time, fills it, walks across more potatoes. So now the weight in that wheelbarrow is equal to his weight or even greater. And so, after doing this successfully to everyone's cheers and amazement, he asks for participation of a volunteer. Upon reaching the other side, the crowd's applause was louder than the falls itself, and he suddenly says, "Do you believe I can carry?" Or maybe, "Do you believe?" I don't know, French. I'm tired of all this. "That I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow." "Yes, well, we totally believe you can do that. You're amazing." "All right, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" Crickets. Even they didn't want to get in the wheelbarrow. Until one man stepped out and got into that wheelbarrow and made it safely across. Point of the story is that while everyone in the crowd had said they believed, the tightrope walkers could carry a man across the falls, only that one person demonstrated real faith,
yes,
by stepping into that wheelbarrow and being carried across. So real faith is more than just words, more than rituals, going to church, having a religion, believing there is a God. Real faith backs that up with words, backs it up with action, or it is not real faith. Like exercising a spiritual muscle. Real faith grows, and Grandma says, when we make choice after choice after choice. In a similar way, it's one thing for us to say that we believe in God. However, true faith is when we believe God and put our faith and trust in His Son and act. So, you have a tightrope in front of you. Maybe you've put something on your paper today. I asked you to write a circle around it. Will you put it in a wheelbarrow? Will you give it to God? Do you trust Him fully with that? What you've drawn your circle around? Can I just ask you, tell you real quick, ladies, a simple thing that I would do to encourage you. Actually, I want to challenge you to do today to strengthen your faith. Because, you know, I want you to go home with a thing, something tangible that you can do. If you want to increase your faith and you're not sure even where to begin, except for the sense of I need to be in the Word, I'm going to give you something really practical to do today. something that I've done in my own life on multiple occasions when God is, I'm feeling at a barrier in my life, is I do a word study on that. When I didn't understand the Holy Spirit, I did a word study. All right, Father, tell me about the Holy Spirit. Word study. When I was infertile, before we had our son Jonathan, barren, did a word study on barrenness, right? Faith. Go get a concordance. I've got a bunch of them upstairs. You're welcome to have any of mine if you want. Go online, use Bible Gateway, just type in the word faith. Print off whatever you want to print off and just start studying faith where it appears in the Bible and pray that God will open your eyes of your heart. So be in the Word of God because, why? Because faith comes through hearing. And hearing comes through what? The Word of God. All right? You want faith? You get in the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. It comes from hearing. And hearing from the what again?
Word of God.
The Word of God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
All right, it's simple. Where do you begin? Well, I want you to imagine, as you're doing this word study, number one, you're going to have faith in the word, and I want you to imagine while you're doing the word study, how would I explain this to somebody else? So you're not just doing it for yourself, you're thinking in your mind about somebody else. All right? So you're thinking, what if I told this to somebody else, what I'm learning right now? So you're doing your word study, and you're thinking about who you would want to talk to about this. And number three, number one, get in the word. Do the word study on faith. Number two, think about it while you're studying. Not just for yourself, but for how you would share that with somebody else, because that's what the gospel is doing, right? Mm-hmm. Number three, tell somebody else. Mm-hmm. Actually tell somebody else. So I'm going to close with that very specific challenge. I'm going to challenge you to be in the word, to do a little word study on faith. I'm going to challenge you to think as you're studying about somebody that you could be talking to about it. And ask that God would bring that person to your mind. And third, I'm going to ask you today, before you leave, to do that, to tell somebody else. And I'm going to actually even step up a little bit. I'm going to give you a week to do it. I'm going to want us to really step out on this. You know, the Lord is going to come, and I want to be ready. I want us to feel like we're about his business when he comes. I'm going to give you a week. And whether it's someone in this room or someone outside that maybe can listen to the podcast later and be challenged as well, I want you to think about maybe it's your husband, a friend, co-worker, whatever. You're going to do your word study on faith. You're going to think about somebody throughout that time. How would I explain this to somebody? What am I learning here? And then you're going to do it. You're going to actually get together with someone face to face and say, this is what God told me about faith. This is what I'm learning. And maybe it's somebody who did this as well. Maybe it's not. But you're going to make that commitment. And in a week, we'll be able to come back together and share with one another what God has done in our life. Could you get excited about that? I mean, don't you see God already at work in Shane's message, Jay's message, the things that we've been doing here at Coffee Talk? I think God will continue to do that and be faithful as we are faithful in stepping out in his word like he's asked us to do. Can we close and circle around Monica so she doesn't have to stand? And we're going to do a little prayer. Would you all join hands? We're just going to close in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Thank you that you have asked us to be women of faith, and then you've laid the path before us of how we can do that. Let us be women about your word, Father. Let us be women who are passionate about your word. Let us be women who prioritize everything else away and put you first in our life and let everything order itself after that. Father, I ask on behalf of every woman in this room that you would touch a special place in our heart, ignite a fire of thirst, a desire to be in your word, to be in prayer, and to be in community with one another and sharing what they're learning. We thank you in advance for the great work that you're doing in this body. We ask your hand of blessing now as we go. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.